This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right. At WGR550.com, Sal's got state of the wide receiver position, but we have a little bit of, I don't know if it's news so much as it's a social media
thing.
Sure.
Sal also did state of the running backs, and we haven't spoken to him about it really
That's
yet.
Right.
So.
That's right. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. Before we get to the James Cook thing on social media and his contract, the Bills did make an announcement yesterday that made news with a hiring of a special teams coach. So let's just start there because, of course, the Matthew Smiley departure and now Chris Tabor coming in most recently from Carolina. What can you tell us about the Bills' new hire?
Yeah, so the Bills haven't officially announced this, but it was reported yesterday, so it looks like that's going to be the case. Chris Tabor is going to be joining the Bills as their new special teams coordinator. So I think the biggest thing here to know is it appears the Bills have really gone in the direction of experience, you know, versus their last two coordinators. Remember, obviously, Matthew Smiley, you know, he had been on the job for 3 years, but his job with the Bills was his first time as a coordinator. He had worked under Heath Farwell, who... That was also his first time as a coordinator. So really, the last two coordinators the Bills had in special teams, it was their first time doing it as a coordinator. This is not the case. This guy has been a coordinator for 14 years, 11 through 23, whatever, 13 years. Yep. He did not coach last year. He wasn't coaching. But anyway, since 2011, outside of last season, he's been a special teams coordinator. So he has plenty of experience across all different, three different organizations, worked with different coaches, got his start. He worked a while ago with Dave Taub, who is the chief special teams coordinator. They were on the same staff, at one point as well. He's regarded as one of the best in the game. So my point here is I think it's important to note, I think the Bills and Sean McDermott really went the experienced route versus the last two coordinators who were first time on the job when they were hired.
You know, one interesting thing about Tabor, I mean, maybe you've heard the name or thought the name, Sal. I did not know this, and it did not ring a bell. But, you know, experience is one thing. He's also had experience being a head coach of NFL teams on an interim basis in two different spots. Once in Chicago, Matt Nagy tested positive for COVID and couldn't coach, and he stepped in. And then Carolina, six games when Frank Reich went out. And I wonder if there's anything to say about that, that, you know, you talk about experience, 40 years in the game, you know, a special teams coordinator, but to be given that call when the interim tag is needed, I don't know. Does that say anything about a coach to you?
Yes, it does. I think it says a lot about what you're – well, here's why it's important. I think it's a great point you bring up, Jeremy. I've talked about this many times in the past with other people on the staff. He is not the only one on the staff. Anytime you can surround yourself as a head coach with coaches who've coached either multiple positions – or been coordinators who are now position coaches, or been head coaches who are now coordinators, those people understand the dynamic of how a team works better than if you're just coming up as a position coach. So a guy like Chris Tabor, in this case, is going to understand how the entire team works together, not just how it relates to special teams. You know who this also is? Rob Boris. Rob Boris has experience as a coordinator in this league. He's a tight ends coach. You go and look at Aaron Cromer is a great example. Aaron Cromer was also an interim head coach for the New Orleans Saints, actually. He's the offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills. Like, these guys, they've actually had time as in some capacity running complete sides of balls or running an entire team, and that really helps. And in a special teams role, it really matters because, as all coaches will tell you guys, the special teams coordinator is the one coach that touches every part of the roster. You're not just offense, you're not just defense, it's a blend of everybody. So that's why it's always been interesting to me. I've always felt that maybe special teams coordinators should get maybe a little bit more of a look when it comes time for head coaching interviews. It's where John Harbaugh came from. It's where Marv Levy came from. It's where Bill Cowher came from. When you're a special teams coordinator, you have to deal with the offensive room, the defensive room, the wide receivers, the DBs, and of course all of the special teams. You kind of understand everything about the roster and how it's shaped. So I do think, to me, I'm sure it's an added benefit. I don't know if Sean McDermott was looking for someone like that specifically, but I think it obviously matters to have somebody like that.
Last thing on the special team, Sal. Do we feel like they have the players to get good results there? It just would be about Tabor coming in and giving a better, you know, coaching acumen. Like, do you feel like they need to add a couple of core special teams guys?
You know, I don't know about. I think they have their core special teams guys. We talk how many times, Joe, have we sat here every year, and I know you and I have even debated on the Extra Point show, like, maybe they've gone too far in that role. But I don't know if you do that as much anymore with the new kickoff rules, but I think you have to think about it. But you look at the return man. I think they got the return man, right? Brandon Codrington. Yeah. I'm not talking about kickoffs right now, right? I'm talking about punts. Kickoffs are a little different now. I think they got the return man, right, in Brandon Codrington. Do they have the kicker in Tyler Bass? That's going to be, you know, I think that he had a nice turnaround. The punter in Sam Martin, I thought he had a nice year last year. Reed Ferguson is a free agent, but, you know, it's obviously somebody who wants to stay in Buffalo, and he's been here a long time with Sean McDermott. So from that particular aspect, yeah, you could always do some tweaks, no doubt. It's funny looking back, like, he had, it helps. I tweeted out yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw it, like, where his special teams units ranked, right? And look, this is so random sometimes. It could be really impacted by a lot of things, but much more good than bad, much more top half of the league than bottom half of the league, and I color-coded everything. But it is funny, like, I looked those early years, Josh Cribbs was his return man in Cleveland for a couple of years, right? It helps when you have someone like that who can really elevate your numbers.
And we can translate this to get to the receivers here a little bit, and this will be more about the receiver position, Sal, but Mac Hollins, just kind of looking over PFF on all their special teams grades for the Bills last year, 58 players played at least some special team snaps, and Hollins ranked 7th. One of the higher guys on this mark. A lot of them were on punt coverage and a few on kickoff too. But do you feel like, as we get into receiver here, you wrote about state of the receivers on our website, WGR550.com. Would you assume the Bills want Hollins back, not just for receiver, but for the special teams role too?
I would, and I do. I don't know if the Bills' plan is for Mac Hollins to play so much on special teams next year. He is getting a little bit older. He was good at it. I think you'd like to be a little bit, younger and have guys who are a little bit more core, as you put it earlier, Joe. But certainly it's a role he can play, and he was good at it this year. I'm interested to see, like, how he fits into the wide receiver core next year after some tweaks, because I do think there's going to be some tweaks. Just on Hollins in general, I did write about him as well as the state of the wide receivers. I mean, how can you be disappointed with the year he put together? When he was signed, how many people said he's a roster bubble guy, right? There were people, I'd come out with you guys, like, is Mac Hollins going to make the team? We're like, yeah, I think so, right? And then right away, guys, I will tell you, in the summer, it was clear, like, oh, this guy's on the team. And you could see, we'd go out to practice and, like, oh, he's going to be a part of this team. He's making the team, probably going to play some special teams. And I felt even he's going to have a pretty good role at wide receiver. Well, it turned out even more so. And he is going to be a free agent. I just don't think he'll have a huge market. Like, he's a journeyman. He had his best year in Buffalo. How many teams are going to be clamoring to say, we got to get Mac Hollins? No disrespect to him, but it just feels like this is the right fit for him, and I think both sides would want to work something out.
Yeah, Sal, I'm looking. Spotrac has him at 2.4 for calculated value. Last year he played like at 1.5 with the cap going up. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. This gets back to, I like to point out all the time, Sal, Brandon Bean says everyone sees who you pay. And I feel like Hollins would be a guy that they could easily bring an offer to they feel is fair. And he might say, life's good here. I have a role.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's happy, including all of his teammates. I think it'd be happy for him as well. He seems to be a very popular guy among fans, among teammates. So, yeah, it seems like whatever. I think I'd be surprised if it didn't get done even before free agency began.
I agree with that. We'll see where it goes. It is interesting. You know, he actually was, he wound up being the leading receiver for the team in the AFC Championship game. He actually caught a couple of deep balls. Like, as the year went on, I think there was even a little bit more of, okay, there's a few other things they can do here. So he'll have a role next year. My thought is he'll be back. They'll work something out because everything you just said, Jeremy.
Rest of the receiver room, Sal. You know, I'm thinking back to last year and how MVS was a guy that was an idea. They wanted speed. They wanted that guy, and he just never really fit. So future additions at the position might be something like that. To me, the biggest question about the receiver room right now is Keon Coleman and their faith in that he will do what they need him to do. You know, the end of season press conference about being disappointed in how he came back from injury, and maybe that's a point about maturity. Like, they've grown players through the years, and they've seen players come through and become more mature and more prepared to be pros. And I wonder how much they will feel comfortable just counting on that happening for Coleman versus maybe wanting to insulate him a little bit.
I think they need and they want Coleman to just, he needs to burst out next year. Like, the comments from Bean and McDermott at the end of the year, like, about how he was starting, I think Sean even said he was starting to be dominant at one point, and then he had the injury, and then Bean said they didn't see the same player when he came back. The lack of physicality, especially, right? They had a talk with him about it, and I'm sure that was, hey, a lot of it, and Bean said this, and look, he's a young player. He's probably never truly been through that sort of thing where he's been injured. He hasn't missed games. You know, it's a grind. It's a rookie wall for a lot of people. At that point that he got injured, it was in the second half of the year. He's missing games. He comes back. You know, it's a tough, not only physical hurdle, it's a tough mental hurdle for a lot of these guys. I don't think they insulate him at all, Jeremy. I think next year is all systems go. We need Keon Coleman to step on the field week one and be a difference maker. That's what I think and how I think they're going to treat Keon Coleman next year.
So how do you think then, do you think there is an addition to either replace an Amari Cooper on the roster, or do you think even there's a chance Cooper comes back? Because to me, maybe they wouldn't bring in a guy to displace Coleman, Sal, but if we're talking about their primary outside receivers going in next year as Coleman and Hollins, I still think there would likely be another body. Just it will depend, I guess, much they want to invest in whoever that other person is.
Well, I guess this is the part where I remind everybody, Joe, that there's 90 players who come to camp, and right now they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wide receivers. You're probably adding like 11 wide receivers this offseason, to be honest with you. I mean, they'll probably bring 13, 14 guys to camp. And I know what you're saying is like, well, those guys are going to be camp bodies, but let's just take the guys they do have still under contract. Okay. Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil. Those last three, Hamler, Shavers, Virgil, I think those guys will fight for spots. I think what we saw from Tyrell Shavers was great last year. He had one catch, takes it to the house, 69 yards. I think he's right on the cusp of trying to be that last wide receiver. But is he really going to be a guy that's going to make a dent in actually playing on the field? I'm not sure. He might be a guy that's a little bit more special teams. Jalen Virgil got elevated, got signed. He actually played a little bit of special teams. Amari Cooper would be that type of player. I don't know if they're playing in that ballpark. What is Amari Cooper getting on the open market? Let's remember, he's only a year removed from back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons. I mean, he's got to have a team that's going to want to pay him a little bit, right? I would think. He's Amari Cooper. He's been in the league a long time. He's putting a lot of work. Are the Bills going to go 1 year, $10 million for Amari Cooper? Is that how much he's going to get? How much would you guys pay him? What's the price point?
The thing that kind of scares me here, Sal, in the state of the wide receivers is if they do bring back Cooper for a modest deal, where is the ability of the group as a total to get the thing that they think they need, which is speed. Right. There's no place for it to come from. Even if you like the idea of Coleman taking that next step, I don't think he's going to give them the thing we kind of think they need, which is the over-the-top guy. And if I come back with Coleman, Shakir, Samuel, Hollins, and Cooper, now I'm on a sixth receiver, and that guy doesn't get on the field. So to me, that's why Cooper is likely on the way out. And wherever they swing in free agency, I just think that there's much more likely that $10 million is spent on somebody younger, somebody faster that fits that mold.
Agreed. I would tell you that I do think, now, I'm not saying and suggesting, guys, that Curtis Samuel's that guy. I do think they wanted more of that from him this year, though. I think that the plan for Curtis Samuel just did not go right this year. And that is a large part because of the toe injury. I think a whole offseason here, it's not like Samuel's been this guy who's been hurt a lot, right? I mean, he had this injury this year, and you're not looking at a guy who's always like that. So I think you can probably hopefully count on him being healthier, coming back to camp. Maybe you kind of give him a fresh start and say, okay, now we're going to kind of use you in that role, which is more of a speed role, but it's also more of a speed role with the ball in his hands, not necessarily running past people, which he does have the ability. I agree with you. KJ Hamler can fly too, but these are not guys that you're going to be relying on. I think you have to have more of a bona fide, you know, speed guy. And where does that come from? I'm not sure. So you're right, Jeremy. The way you put the puzzle together, even listening to Sean McDermott last 2 weeks ago, he kind of acknowledged, like, yeah, it's something that we think, you know, maybe more explosiveness is something that they need. So, yeah, I think that they'll probably have to go out and look for something like that. And it probably fits in your, I guess, top four, because Shakir, Coleman, Samuel are your top three in whatever order. And then that, and then I guess Mac Hollins, so top five, but somewhere in that top four where a guy's actually on the field and getting reps and running down the field, I think you have to have somebody.
Chatting with Sal Capaccio, his piece at WGR550.com, State of the Wide Receivers. We've got a caller to get into one more issue we want to bring up with Sal. Rick in Olean is up. Hey, Rick. Are you there, Rick? No, Rick. All right. He want to talk about
that sounded juicy.
That's okay. James Cook. We want to talk about James Cook because James Cook, there's a post on Instagram Live, a pinned comment from him, $15 million a year. His brother has tweeted out $20 million a year. Sal, the Bills have a number of players eligible for extensions, and Cook will be a big test on their philosophy at running back. And I wonder if you think that I'm not here to predict that things get ugly, but Cook's in a very unique spot because running back careers start and end quickly, and he's made it to this part, and this is where his brother would probably advise him, get paid. His brother got paid, and then he was out quick. And if you're Cook, you're playing on a deal that pays you a grand total of $6 million, and you're looking for, what, 10 a year? So I wonder what happens with Cook. I think this offseason could be a lot about what his plan is, what their plan is on an extension.
100%. So I did write about quarterbacks, and I did write about running backs as well. So people want to go check out those pieces. And the funny thing about those two positions, they're set, right? I mean, like, we know who the quarterback is. All you have to figure out is, like, the backups, Trubisky, White, and Bouchel, or they're all coming back. Like, how does that pecking order work? That's fine. That's a nice little storyline. Running back, same thing. It's James Cook. It's Ray Davis. It's do you bring back Ty Johnson? Good debate, good discussion, but honestly, we know James Cook is coming back. He's a fantastic player. And then you have Frank Gore Jr. The question at both positions, quarterback and running back, is the same. Do the top guys get extensions? And I'm talking about Josh Allen, guys. Yeah. Like, what do you do with his extension? How do you work that number? And then for James Cook, do you give him an extension? That is the only, those are the only questions at these two positions. For me, there's the part of this for James Cook that's also tricky is Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, Greg Rousseau, and Khalil Shakir. There's four other guys who are in the exact same position at different positions than James Cook. These are five guys all going into the last year of their deals. You cannot extend all of them. They're not going to be able to do that. Some of these guys, maybe quite a few of them, maybe all of them, are going to go into the last year of their contract. And that's, you know, and then eventually someone's going to leave free agency. Like, that's what happens in this league. Do the Bills allow that to be James Cook? Is it Terrell Bernard? Is it Christian Benford? Is it Khalil Shakir? Is it Greg Rousseau? I don't know. But you're right, Jeremy. The way that they've operated, I've always said this. I think the Bills, one of the things that Brandon Bean has done very, very well is I think he's managed the running back kind of like how they pay and how they form it really well, which is they don't spend a ton of money on it. And he got, how many times did people say in the past, like, they don't spend high assets on running back? He's a second-round pick. Or, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, they spend too high of assets on running back. A second-round pick, a third-round pick on Devin Singletary. That's fine, but then they would let him play and walk, and they would use him up. And Singletary was a fine player. Zach Moss didn't hit necessarily. They got something for him. He did a nice job elsewhere. James Cook was a second-round pick, and now he's really paying dividends for them. But how do you maintain that philosophy of, I'm not going to pay a running back that kind of money because I have to pay the rest of the roster when you have a guy like this on your team?
Right. And what they would want to do on the timing of it, Sal. Like, would they say, let's wait another year and see if you do it again? And, you know, they would know the risk of paying him even more if he does do it again. For Cook, though, do you agree that he is different? Like, you would know better than me, like, in terms of him personally from year one to how he's been lately. Like, I don't know, like, him, and none of this is even meant to be a criticism, but I heard McDermott in his press conference talk about Cook yelling at him on the sideline, like, in a good way, in the AFC Championship game, and he's out there yelling about why he wasn't in the Pro Bowl. Like, he seems more, I don't even know what word I want to put on him, more confident, just more open about his confidence in himself. I don't know if you've agreed, though. Like, has he gone from, like, a quiet guy to more of a talker?
It's a tough way to explain, Joe, because you sound like, if I say more professional, that sounds like he wasn't professional, right? That's not the word I'm trying to look for. I do agree. I think I've seen it. James is a very quiet person, by the way. You know, whenever we're all around him in the media, he doesn't talk a lot. When he does, he's very quiet when he talks. Yeah, I'd say he's thoughtful about what he says. There's no doubt about that. How about this? Here's a word I'll use. I just think James Cook has become very intentional about his career. That's what it is. He has become very intentional, and I think he has really understood what it means to be an NFL running back. And again, if you want to say that's professional, that's fine. It wasn't that he wasn't professional. I think it takes time sometimes for these guys to come in the league. This guy was fantastic in college at Georgia, wins a national championship, comes in the NFL. He's got to work. He's got to get on the field, fumbles his first snap. He's not the number one guy. Well, why isn't he on the field? His rookie year, Devin Singletary, second year, has this really nice year. And then I think last year it's okay. I'm here. This is my career. Like, I remember, this is so funny. I'm going to go back a long time to say this. Not a long time, but you guys, it might be, it's the weirdest reference. But I remember Darcy Regier, actually, one time in a press conference talking, and this is like at the height of the Sabres or maybe in the back end of his career. And they were talking about maybe, I don't know who it was, maybe Stafford or I don't know who it was. And Darcy said, at some point, a player realizes they have to take ownership of their career. Mm-hmm. It's not the organization all the time that has to develop them and bring them along. Like, you have the control here too. You have to take ownership of your career. And I think it's a great way for James Cook. I think James Cook has taken ownership of his career, if that makes sense.
Yeah, great reference, Sal. Great, mm-hmm. great comparison. Yeah. All right, well, state of the wide receiver is up. If you want to dig into that, WGR550.com.
Tight ends next.
Tight ends next. I'm actually working on that today, actually. Hey, real quick. Yeah. You guys had a great trivia question yesterday. I thought it was going to be a question that I like, but it wasn't the same question. But I'm going to ask you, okay, real quick. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There have been four players who won a Heisman Trophy and a Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, that's Desmond Howard.
Yes.
Okay.
That's usually the toughest one.
He won a Super Bowl MVP?
He did. He had a kick return touchdown.
As a return man, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, past that, it's
one of them is the same answer as yesterday you gave. You went way back a little bit.
Only one of them? Is that Marcus Allen?
Marcus Allen, yep.
Okay.
The other two are actually older than him, but they're famous players. One was Allen's teammate, a quarterback.
Ken Stabler?
Stabler.
Close. Lila, after that.
Who's the Raider quarterback after Stabler that wins?
After that. He might have had one in between, but he was in the early 80s, yep.
Oh, I don't know.
Jim Plunkett.
Okay, there we go.
And then the last one is a Cowboys quarterback.
Staubach?
Roger Staubach. Yep. Right. Roger Staubach won the Heisman Trophy, but he could not play in the NFL because he had to fulfill his military duties. He played at Army. So he did not go to the NFL until like 3 years after that, I believe it was. And then he won a Super Bowl MVP.
Okay. Who's going to be the next one?
Ooh, good question.
Heisman to win the Super Bowl MVP. More and more, like, there was a period there where Heisman winners, like, didn't have a lot of success in the NFL, and now it's starting to become more, like Burrow would be, like, no one would be surprised if Burrow won a Super Bowl MVP, I think, at some point in his career.
But. Staubach played for Navy, by the way.
Navy. Yes. I said Army. Yeah. My apologies. Sorry.
Yes. I only corrected because somebody out there is like, you know,
of
that rivalry. Don't you dare say he played for Army.
I got it. It's like saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Princeton or something.
Right, exactly.
Yale.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys.
Sal Capaccio, he's coming up with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock. 803-0550, we've got to get a break in. Do you want to pay James Cook? Let's talk about it. And where Maurice Jones-Drew ranked him at NFL.com, MJD, all 74 starting, playing running backs in the NFL, where does James Cook rank according to him? We'll see if that changes your mind or spins you one way or the other on whether or not they should pay James Cook. It's going to be one of the stories of the offseason. Jeremy and Joe on Cook, Shakir, Bernard, Benford, Rousseau. Anything else you want to throw at us, you're welcome to. 803-0550 on WGR.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go back to the phone lines here. Josh in Abington is the name on the screen. You might know him as the governor of the state of Pennsylvania. What's going on, Governor? How are you?
Guys, what a day. Unbelievable. Incredible win. Incredible win. I'm just so pumped up.
Gov, I don't know, but were you, hopefully you weren't out there climbing no poles or nothing. You weren't out there acting up out there in the streets last night, were you?
No, we celebrate safely, guys. We celebrate safely. But listen, just the love of Philly sports fans, it's just unbelievable. It's a great vibe for the city, great vibe for the state, and I'm just so proud of these guys.
The governor of Pennsylvania called into WIP. I like just calling him, hey, Gov. Gov. Yo, Gov. Not bad. The Eagles parade is Friday on Valentine's Day. The city of brotherly love with the parade on Valentine's Day. Good stuff. 803-0550. Get some calls in on the James Cook idea, whether or not he's high priority for you or not. I want to give everybody a homework assignment, though. If you could try to work on this. I don't have trivia because I don't even really know how to find this. But it was pointed out with Kellen Moore getting the Saints job.
Yep.
So Kellen Moore will now be the head coach of the Saints. Mm-hmm. His quarterback for right now is Derek Carr.
Yep.
They played each other in college.
Okay.
How many times has a coach coached a quarterback he played against? That's a tough one to find.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett was a quarterback. How many quarterbacks?
But he doesn't cross over with.
Coached a player they played against. In that game in college, by the way, Boise with Kellen Moore beat Derek Carr in Fresno 57-7. So Derek Carr might get some tips from Kellen Moore. Anyway, 803-0550. Trying to find that. I've spent a minute and a half trying to look that up and then thought, you know what? Nah. I don't need to waste hours on this, but it's interesting.
You need guys that played too, right? Like
Or just played in college. I mean, that's Kellen Moore played in college.
Because like I'm not like Kevin O'Connell came right to mind for me.
Yeah.
Like he would have been a backup, but he didn't start in these places.
Cliff Kingsbury played. Did he coach a quarterback he played against?
Right.
Anyway, that's a situation in New Orleans with the Saints. On James Cook, Maurice Jones-Drew ranked all 74 running backs at NFL.com, put James Cook number 8.
Okay.
Eighth best running back in football.
Top 10.
Should the Bills pay him? It's a big philosophy thing here for the Bills. They've not yet paid a running back a second contract in the McDermott Bean era, and would they do it for James Cook? We'll get some calls in on that as the offseason is about, you know, locking up their next version of the core. Who's a part of it? Mike in Pennsylvania is up next. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm not the governor of PA. That's crazy that he called. And I thought for some reason while I was listening to the broadcast, I thought it switched over to where I'm at from, you know, back home. But, yeah, they're nuts. And next year maybe we face them and we can pipe the Eagles down in the Super Bowl because it's going to be nuts for the next 3 months over here in Pennsylvania. But, anyways, back to the James Cook thing. I don't believe they should extend for James Cook to re-sign him. I really like Ray Davis, and I just feel like they've got a ton of needs elsewhere, and the two big ones are the defensive line and the wide receivers for sure. I would go younger there, draft somebody. I just don't feel, while he had a good year, I feel like he had kind of the Josh Allen effect to this season where he had a breakout season because of how well Allen was playing, and I do feel we can get similar production on another running back, in particular Ray Davis, who I was super impressed with this season.
Yeah, thanks, mm-hmm. Mike. One thing, they have an amazing offensive line. The Bills had a great offensive line. That's part of the reason that Cook did so well. Of course, Cook played great this year. There's no denying that. Contact balance, you know,
the
yards.
The vision has really come along a lot.
He had a great, and he played his... Whatever, he played great games in big moments. The AFC Championship game, I don't think there's any disputing he's great. And
he looked faster, I thought, this year than he had in previous years. Like, he really wasn't he wasn't slow. I think he was, like, in the 80th percentile for his 40 time when he came into the league, like a 4.4 or something.
Yeah.
But he was never running away from defenders. And this year, he wasn't running away from everybody. He wasn't Barkley. But if he was going face-to-face with any linebacker or any safety, Poyer earlier in the year, right? He did it to a couple of corners. Like he was getting the edge and outracing guys way more often this year than he had in the past.
Yeah.
So he did work on that too. That had been documented. Like he did workouts last summer to get faster.
Here's one way to ask it. Barkley and Henry thought to be the two best this year. Would the Bills have been any different with one of those two?
Barkley or Henry?
Then Barkley. Would the season have been different if it's Barkley instead of James Cook? You want to say yes. I mean, Barkley had an incredible year, 2,000 yards.
Would the season have been different?
Right, would the season have been different?
I mean, I assume that it would have gone better. Like, Barkley would have put up better numbers than Cook, like rushing, maybe not touchdowns. But is the question, would they have made the Super Bowl then?
It's just,
Because like I'm not going there.
No, what it comes down to is the Eagles. Why did the Eagles get Barkley? To me, it's key on why the Eagles did it. He was the final piece. The whole team was already built.
Right.
The offense was built. They had a great line. They had both their receivers. They had, I mean, it's Barkley and Jahan Dotson are their adds as weapons. Goddard's there. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are there.
Yep.
Barkley was, we have a sick offense, and if we got a little more dynamic at one more spot, let's pay the money to do it and try to build a perfect offense. And for the Bills, I mean, they need help in other spots. Cook's a big part of their offense. Their finishing touch on offense is probably on receiver. And I guess the question is, if they were to let Cook go or hold out or tell him they're not going to pay him, you know, how much do you think they would suffer if they dropped down to a Ray Davis?
Yeah, I do think if they were to just plug in Ray Davis and insert middle-of-the-road addition here, if they had to move on from Cook after a year, I wouldn't be afraid of it. I still think you would get really good results. I'm not confident you would get the same results. Like, the advanced numbers, like Cook. Like, it's not like he did what everyone else would have done. Like, he had 166 yards over expected this year at Next Gen Stats.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're looking per attempt, you know, it's significantly better than, like, where Ray Davis was. Ray Davis was right on the line. 0.1 over expectation per attempt. Cook was almost a full yard.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
So, like, you are getting a better player and more efficiency. Davis could grow into it, but also, it's not like Davis. Do you know Ray Davis is only 3 weeks younger than James Cook is? It's not like you're expecting, like, oh, this 20-year-old, like Coleman, where, well, he's got to mature. Like, they're the same age. So, sure, he's got to play in the league a little bit longer, but if you paired. So I guess both can be true, and that's why I think it's kind of close for me, where I see the value of paying Cook, and my brain that's been accustomed to running backs not mattering that much for so many years also hears Mike go, well, if I just, you know, if I sign J.K. Dobbins and I for on a 1 year deal and I plug him in with Ray Davis, like, aren't I going to get pretty good results too with that offensive line? Like, I do want to believe that also.
If I gave you, have you seen the full list of guys that finished with the better rushing yards over expected per attempt?
Then who?
Then Cook.
Then Cook?
Yeah.
No.
It's not many.
I could pull it up.
I've got it. It's not many. And it's a good list.
Yeah.
Here are the players that finished with a higher yards over expectation per rushing attempt than Cook. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Jordan Mason, Chuba Hubbard, Jerome Ford, Bucky Irving, Jahmyr Gibbs, end of list.
Okay. That puts them right around where Jones Drew ranked them, right? Like 8th to 10th in the league.
And like all those running backs I just mentioned, Jordan Mason, he was good when he was in there, but Bucky Irving is fantastic.
Bucky Irving's going to be a first round pick in fantasy next
Jahmyr
year.
Jahmyr Gibbs is fantastic.
Yeah.
Jerome Ford is pretty good. Chuba Hubbard was great this year, and then Barkley and Henry.
Chuba Hubbard earned an extension this year.
Yeah.
He got paid.
So Cook's, I mean, the recipe, I'm trying to use like a Cook pun, I don't have one for you. He's got the fancy stats, I should say, to really back up that he did the job. So
And the touchdowns, I had these numbers in the middle of the season. I forgot what they were exactly, but 16 touchdowns. Like, was not. Remember, Jamal Williams led the league in touchdowns.
And they were all one-yarders?
They were all from like 1 yard out.
Yeah.
Like, Cook, I think, again, like, it's been about a month since I looked these up, but there was a time during the year where I think Barkley was the only running back that had a higher distance per touchdown than Cook did.
Yeah,
like, a lot of Cook's touchdowns came from 40 plus yards.
Because Barkley's average was like 32 yards.
Right. And what do those two guys have in common is their quarterbacks steal touchdowns at the one yard line. Yeah. So Cook getting 16 touchdowns, like that's a good number for him.
Yep.
Because it wasn't, oh, he just got a bunch of carries from the one. Like, no, he scored from 10 yards out a lot and from 15 yards out and from 40 yards out.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe will get you know, more of your calls in. Got some stuff to get to. UB's contract extension for Pete Lembo. That's coming up at 8:30. Worst Call Wednesday. Improving the Sabre strategy. Wide open phones as well as we continue here on WGR.
All right, it is time for Building a Better Strategy for the Sabres, presented by SalesRebel.ai. Build better strategies. Visit SalesRebel.ai today to learn more. I'll let you decide if this is a
good strategy for the Sabres.
Good strategy or not. There have been some trade rumors about Noah Dobson, who is a right shot defenseman for the Islanders. In fact, I think he's playing for Team Canada tonight. $4 million a year. You want to pay a giant sum instead of for a center for a defenseman? Right shot?
Every time I hear right shot defenseman, my brain shuts off. how many years have we been talking about right shot defenseman?
I think it's because the whole league is like realizing that they're all the best defensemen in the league are left shot defensemen. I don't really know why that's happened. Also, the Sabres have two defensemen that are lefties that actually their numbers show they are better on the right. Like Dahlin's numbers, left versus right, he's a better defenseman on the right. So why do I care if you don't have a right shot defenseman?
Is that not because he kind of plays like a forward?
Yep.
Is that part of it?
Yeah, I think so.
The way he handles
the puck?
He's
talked about it. He said there's more passing angles available to him when he's on his offside.
Right.
So
All right.
There's an idea. There's a expensive, good defenseman you can get right now that's available.
Improving the Sabres strategy. Four Nations begins tonight. Canada and Sweden, and then US-Finland is tomorrow. The games are on tonight.
Tonight's TNT, tomorrow's ESPN.
There you go. There you go. I'll be watching. I'm excited. Scott in South Buffalo for the break. Quickly. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, hey, I'd like to distract you guys from the Sabres and the Bills for a little while. The soccer game yesterday, Real Madrid against Man City, did you watch it?
Pieces of it. It was incredible.
Incredible game. So here's the parlay going in. I had Madrid to win, Mbappe to score, Haaland with a shot on goal, and Vinicius Jr. with a shot on goal.
Mm-hmm.
So Haaland scores right away, so it's a shot on goal. Vinicius Jr. scores, it's offside, they take it back. He hits the post twice. It was deflected, they didn't count a shot on goal. And then the 88th minute, Vinicius Jr. gets a shot on goal, Madrid ties it up 2-2. In the 93rd minute, Madrid wins. That's a four-way parlay.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I saw the very end of it. And
yeah, 1300 paid.
Nice. Congratulations, Scott. The Champions League is super. I mean, you want to talk about the way that the NHL couldn't possibly make the Four Nations like the Champions League. I get that. But no, can I say this? No tournament is better at celebrating itself than the Champions League. They wrote a song for it,
yeah,
in multiple languages, and it's just, I think it's presented very well. Anyway, and City is out. City to lose, I mean, it's not a bad bet these days. They lose all the time.
Yeah, they're kind of bad.
It's really wild.
Went from, hey, listen, if you've been waiting for the Chiefs' demise, just know that in the soccer world, their version, the dynasty over there, just poof.
One guy got hurt, and over.
Like, it was just all over just like that.
Yeah. All right, 803-0550, back on the other side. We'll talk James Cook, state of the wide receiver as well. Joe and I also have a fun game with next year's potential coaching vacancies we're going to play. We'll get Scott Wilson on Pete Lembo and the reported contract extension for the UB head coach. That, your phone calls as well, 803-0550. Do you want to keep James Cook, and how far are you willing to go to do it? We'll talk about that with you here on WGR.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.